Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
So last week, we took a little look at what it means to know Jesus, a brief glimpse at what it means to know Jesus. Not just to know about Him per se, but to actually know Him, right? It isn't just knowing about Jesus, it's about knowing Jesus. And last week we saw four ways that you and I can do that. Do you remember what they are? More than likely not, so let's go over it together, shall we? First, Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, that I may know Him, I may know Jesus, right? But what aspects of Jesus? First, the power of His resurrection. Jesus' resurrection power flowing in me when He saved me. That resurrection power, His Spirit sustains me each and every day as I know Him. And that resurrection power flowing in my life. But also the fellowship of His sufferings. Recognizing that it is these very things, the very suffering that I endure for Jesus, as my heart is changed by Him, as the Holy Spirit changes my heart and conforms me into the image of Jesus, that change that happens in my life will bring about suffering. But in my suffering for Jesus, that suffering becomes the very catalyst for hope. Suffering brings about experience. Experience brings about patience and endurance. And endurance brings about that experience of trusting in Jesus brings hope, right? Hope in Jesus. To be like Him is also to be made conformable unto His death. To be like Him in His death, right? And this is kind of an aspect of what we understand about being denying yourself. Jesus said, take up your cross daily, right? That aspect of taking up the cross to be changed into His image. And in doing so, we will continue to be changed to follow Jesus. But also in verse 11 says this, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul is looking forward, saying, one day my change will be complete. And I'm looking forward to that future. But I'm making sure that each day I have that forward-focused view, that eternal aspect in my view each day. Not just setting it aside for the future, but making that future my present reality, is what he's talking about. To one day be fully changed by Jesus when we see Him face to face. It is our present hope in the future. This is the goal we're looking forward to, right? One day to be changed by Jesus, fully changed, no longer hindered by sin, no longer hindered by temptations, so that I can know Jesus more fully to spend eternity enjoying being with Him. Are you looking forward to being with Jesus? I know I am. I can't wait. That moment that I am changed. My change is done. I no longer have to struggle with my own sins and the own temptations that I have to deal with that hinder me, that pull me back from knowing Jesus. I get to know Him fully as I am known by Him. What a moment that is going to be, right? Whew, I can't wait. The question is, what do we do between now and that point? How do I live tomorrow? How is my Tuesday going to be affected by that? What about this time next year? How am I going to be changed? How do I live then? What should my mindset be in the context of, you know, should I just be satisfied? Okay, I'm going to be changed in the future, so I'm just going to sit back and relax and just live life for what it is, because ultimately my life is going to be changed anyways. Why should I put any effort into living the way I should live if ultimately I'm going to be changed anyways? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever wondered that for a second? Like, I'm going to be changed. That change is going to happen. What does it matter how I live my life now? It's an important thought. How much effort should I actually put in knowing Jesus today? You see, the eternal mindset, the mindset that we have for living our future, should deeply affect how we live today. You know, we look forward to that, right? We look forward to one day knowing Jesus, right? Like, oh man, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be in heaven. It's going to be great. Streets of gold, trees, you know, river of life, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, the reason heaven is because of Jesus, right? So if we look forward so much to enjoying our future heaven, why would we, for some reason, hold back the joy of knowing Jesus for life here on earth? And that's the question. The reason we pursue Jesus is because Jesus is the source of everything heaven is. We get to enjoy, in a sense, heaven on earth by pursuing Jesus. And this is what Paul reminds us, that I may know him. That I may know him. I want to know him more. Because he is trustworthy. He's worthy of my faith. So Paul helps us to understand this in his next passage. This is kind of his focus point, right? And in order to help us understand this, he's going to give us this picture, this illustration of being in a race. Not like a 100-meter sprint per se, but rather a marathon. Each of us are running towards the finish line when we meet Jesus and our change is complete. And the question is, in this race, what should my mindset be as I run toward Jesus? This is what we're going to look at. The first thing we need to know is, first of all, we are in the race. It's important to know that you're actually running, right? Sometimes you're like, oh, I'm in a race. Oh, no, that's terrible. I got to run. You know, that kind of thing, right? Sometimes if we don't recognize that we're in the race, if we don't realize that we're in the race, our run doesn't do very well. Verse 12 says this. He's basically laying a context for what we are doing. Not as though he's laying where you are in the race. First is this, not as though I had already attained. I haven't crossed the finish line yet. I haven't finished yet. I haven't reached the perfection that Jesus is going to give me when I see him. I haven't made the finish line yet. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. I'm not there yet. I'm not at the finish line. Then where am I? But I follow after. But I have started. I have started the race. I have started running. I follow after. If that, I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. There's a lot of apprehends going on in that section of passage, right? What is he talking about? He's saying, first of all, I haven't crossed the finish line, but I have started. This is true for all of us as believers. If you have put your faith in Jesus, you are in the race. But you haven't finished, but you have started. But there's more to it than just, hey, you haven't finished, you have started, so let's run. There's more to it than that. Paul is actually rejoicing in the fact that he actually gets to be in the race. I'm so glad I get to run. You know how sometimes these marathons, these like awesome marathons where you gotta get chosen to run? Like there's like a lottery system, and if you get picked, then you get to run. And it's like, oh man, this is awesome. I'm in the famous marathon. How cool is this? You know, taking selfies and everything as you're running and all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. This is essentially what Paul is saying. I get to be in the race. Why? I know I'm running, and I'm so excited I get to run. Why? Before, I was running the wrong race. I was dead in my sins. I thought I was good enough, but I was completely blind to the fact that I was running toward my destruction rather than toward Jesus. I was running to my own destruction, but Jesus pursued me and he captured me. He apprehended me. He sought me out and he captured me. He ran to me to rescue me and give me life. And because he has done that, and because he has captured me, I'm going to run toward the purpose for which Jesus captured me. I'm going to run for the very reason Jesus saved me, to ultimately be changed in his image, to know Jesus. I'm going to run so that I get to pursue the very thing he rescued me to run toward. Knowing Jesus fully. And this is true for you too. This is the reason Jesus saved you. God became man to come to where you are, to find you, to run after you, to pursue you, to rescue you, to prepare you for an eternity of experiencing how good and gracious He is. Ephesians 2 says this. I love Ephesians 2. Verse 7 says this. This is the reason He pursues us, that in the ages to come, He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You just trust Him and He does everything. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. He reminds us that because we are captured by Him, we can run for the very purpose that Jesus has captured us. As we put our faith in Him, the moment of faith that you trust in Him, that faith is a continual process of knowing Him. And because of that, that very reason, we don't have to wait to know Him. We don't have to wait until Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, we might know all of His goodness and kindness toward us. We get to experience and to know more of that now, which is the reason we pursue Him now. So, as you trust in His grace to help you, keep running. Run to grow in knowing Jesus and being changed by Him. This is what Paul is saying, right? So how do we maintain that mindset? What is the purpose? We get why we run, right? You get it now, right? We get why we run. How do we maintain that purpose? How do we have that mindset, that vision, that steadfast faith in following after Jesus? How do we keep running to keep pursuing Jesus? Paul tells us in the next verse, the next two verses, verse 13 says this, brethren, Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says it again. I haven't finished the goal line yet. I'm not done yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus. Go back to verse 13 real quick. He says, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. We maintain, one of the reasons, one of the ways in which we maintain the mindset of following Jesus is by making the most important thing the most important thing. Making the most important thing the most important things. There are a lot of things. What do I mean by that? There are a lot of important things in our life, right? But there's one important thing. There are a lot of things that distract us from making that thing the most important thing. You know, we can be running for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you. I'm pursuing you. I'm running you. Oh, Starbucks. Let me go stop for a second and go stop and take a drink of Starbucks. Oh, Jesus, I'm running after you. Oh, Jesus, I'm running after you. Oh, I want to know you. Oh, that's scary. I'm going to run away from that. Distractions are a common aspect of life. And sometimes those distractions can pull us away from making the most important thing the most important thing. And this is why it's important that we need to know what's important in our lives. What is the most important thing? You have to physically or mentally assess your life to make sure that tomorrow, what is the most important thing I do tomorrow? What is the one thing that I cannot stop doing? Just knowing that it's important doesn't necessarily mean that it becomes the most important. You have to follow that by making sure that you do the things to make sure that that thing is the most important. This one thing, this is the important thing of my life. And I'm going to make sure that I do it. What is that one thing that Paul does? What is the one thing, the most important thing that Paul continually tries to do? We find it in verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the high calling of Jesus Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is constantly pushing toward his one thing, his prize. And what is that prize? It's simply to know Jesus, to know him more. What does he mean for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? It's basically this high calling is that God calls us in saving us, that upward calling of God to save us through Jesus. This calling is given to us in Jesus because he is the one who actually made it possible to know him because of his sacrifice on the cross. The prize that Paul runs towards is Jesus. Jesus is his prize. And each day he's pressing toward that prize, not losing sight of him. He's literally keeping his eyes on the prize, keeping his eyes on Jesus. Each day taking one more step to know him more. Eyes on the prize. Eyes on the prize. You hear it a lot. Maybe if you're running, you do. Maybe if you're doing some kind of a contest, you're in a game and you're in a tournament or something. Eyes on the prize. Keep your focus. Don't let go of that. A lot of times they keep your eyes on the ball, you know, as the ball comes towards you. Keep your eyes on the ball. Eyes on the prize. Don't lose your focus. And this is what Paul is saying. Eye on the prize. Is Jesus your prize? And if he is your eye on him? Are you stepping toward Jesus each day, pressing in to know him more, reaching for him? Are you making him the most important thing in your life? You may be like, man, you know, I try this. I do my best to make sure, but I don't do it nearly the way I want to. I think that's true for all of us, isn't it? In some context or another. Paul helps us to remember, hey, listen, you know what? How do we help keep our focus on Jesus? Okay, so we recognize that Jesus is our prize. We know that this is the one thing. This is the most important thing that you do is to know and pursue Jesus. Reach for him. Keep your eyes on him. Don't let go of your sight of him. But how do we make sure we do that? And Paul gives us some encouraging words to help us maintain our eyes on the prize, to help us maintain our focus on Jesus. And he does it in verse 13 and 14. The words of encouragement are this. Verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, that one thing, and how I do it is this, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14 says, I press toward the mark. His goal is to press toward the mark, and how he does it are those two things. Forget what's behind, reach for what's before. Forget what's behind, and reach for what's before. How does forgetting what's behind and reaching forward for what's before, how does that help us maintain our eyes on the prize? And that's the question. This is what Paul is describing here. Don't look behind you. Keep pushing forward. Don't look back. Look forward. Why is that important? Well, what's behind us that would hinder us? What's behind us that would hinder us from keeping our eyes on the prize? One of those things is our failures and our mistakes. One of those things are the things that have you ever looked back and just, oh, I'm such an idiot. Why? I want to slap myself, you know. The other way. Okay. Right? You've done something in the past and you've regretted it. And it gets discouraging, doesn't it? Why do I keep messing up? Or why did I do that dumb thing back that I've done before? Why did I live against what I know is good and what I know is right? That regret, that discouragement, right? Well, did you know that you're not the only one who does that? Everybody does that. Everybody messes up. Everybody makes mistakes. You look anywhere, everybody makes a mistake, and that's helpful for us to understand. Okay, I've messed up. But it's not just that everybody messes up. I mean, think about Paul for a second. I mean, you know, Paul, I mean, you look back on his life and he says, I've done all these things, right? But they're just horrible. Like he sees them as dung. They're absolutely worthless. And Pastor Ben said it really well. He says, not just that he thinks of them as worthless, but he wants them out. Like nobody wants to have dung in their house, right? Get it out, leave it. I don't want to think about it. Get it away from me. Can you imagine the first martyr, Stephen, as he's stoned? And Paul, looking back and recognizing, oh, that was me. I was the one who approved that. The first martyr, Stephen, and I'm the one who's given the okay. I'm the one holding the guy's coats as they cast the first stone. That's like a, man, I tell you what, that's going to be an awkward moment when I see Stephen, you know, in heaven, you know. That discouraged me. Oh, why? What was I thinking? We all have these discouragements, things in our past that hold us back. Our failures, our mistakes. I wonder if Paul ever thought, man, I look back on how I persecuted Jesus. I look back on all the ways I tried to persecute those who loved him and followed after him. I am so unworthy. I'm so unworthy of being used by God in this way. But then Paul says, but I'm running, man. I know I'm not worthy to be here, but I'm running. I am not giving up. I'm going to keep running. I'm going to pursue Jesus. I'm going to follow after him. How can he say that after having done all the things that he had done? One word. Forgiven. Forgiven. When we repent of our sins, we can run freely as one who has been fully and completely forgiven by God himself. Whose sins are as far from my from his memory as the east is from the west. My sins have been buried in the deepest part of the sea. My sins are gone. I've been set free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right? Don't let your past mistakes hinder you from knowing him more and more. Run to Jesus. Run to him. Keep pushing forward to know him more. Don't let your past mistakes hinder you from pursuing Jesus. One is your past, your mistakes and your failures, but there is also something else that can keep you from running after Jesus, and that is your successes and victories. Your memory of what you've done in the past can hold you back. Maybe you did something recently that you're really happy about. Victories come, right? They come, right? It may be like an aspect of like, you know, a surge of growth, spiritual growth that you see. Maybe it was an act of faith where you trusted Jesus and Jesus responded by answering that faith in a miraculous and glorious way. Maybe it was a moment where you got to display God's glory in your life. A victory over sin that you were struggling with and finally you got that victory over it. Don't let those moments of victory start causing laziness in your life to creep in. We're running. We're not running a lot of short bursts of races. You know what I'm saying? We're not running a lot of 100-meter races. We're running a marathon. And there's going to be times when you have that surge of energy that comes in, that where you pass the person that you've been trying to pass for a long time. It's kind of like a tournament. It's a long tournament. Where you know how, if you ever watch an NCAA tournament, like March Madness, or even like Koshien baseball tournament, you hear this a lot in the middle of the tournament. The team has won, they're moving on in the standings, they're moving on to the next round, and you hear this, oh, we're so excited, we're so happy that we won the victory, but we're already looking forward to the next game. We're already planning and preparing for the next game. This is literally what we're talking about here. Don't rest on the victory that you've had in the past. I tell you what, So many times, a great victory, right after a great victory comes a great defeat. Because we've lost sight of the fact that Jesus is the one who gave us the victory in the first place. And we look to ourselves, I did it. I did it. No, you didn't. Jesus did it in you. And so don't forget that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look back. Keep leaning forward. Keep pushing forward. Enjoy the victory for a bit, but get ready to get in the game. Rejoice in your wins. Enjoy them. Praise God in them, but don't rest in them. Be ready for the next step. Next step forward. Next step forward. Trust in him to help you move forward. And finally, we find in verse 15 and 16 something very encouraging for those of us who have been saved for a season. He says, let us, including himself in this, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, complete, mature, be thus minded. Don't forget to let go of Jesus. Don't forget to run after Jesus. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. Look, if you've gotten your mind distracted in a way where you stop looking to Jesus, let God remind you again that it's all about following after Jesus. It's all about knowing Jesus more. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, as far as you've gotten, as much progress as you've made in the race, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Let's keep the pace going. Don't stop because you've made so much progress in the race. You've been saved for years. You've been walking faithfully, pursuing Jesus, knowing him more. And as you know him more, you've known more and more of his goodness and his graciousness towards you. Don't just start coasting. Don't just start coasting. Just because you've known Jesus a long time, keep the pace going. You're almost there. And this is where Paul's at. Like, hey, you're almost there. You're almost at the finish line. Don't coast. Don't coast. Keep pushing. Reach for the end. So many races have been lost because the person in the lead started coasting without recognizing that the end is where you push. The end is where you push. And so this is what Paul is reminding us. You've gotten this far. Keep the pace up. Don't let up. Keep running. You may have to change the way you run because of physical difficulties or because of difficult changes in lifestyle, but don't let up in the pursuit of knowing and following after Jesus. Don't let up. Don't forget what got you to where you are. Don't forget what got you to where you are. You have gotten this far because of God's grace to you. And you will, in the same way, by God's grace, continue to grow in him, to know Jesus more and more. Don't let the progress that you could continue to make, don't let that go in coasting for Jesus. Don't coast. Keep running. And finally this, running and following after Jesus is a lifetime adventure. It's a lifetime adventure. Wherever you are, if you're in the beginning of the race, if you're just starting your race, you just trusted Jesus, and you have that road ahead of you where you get to know Jesus more and more, remember, it's a lifetime adventure. It's a lifetime of getting to know and experience his goodness in your life, to have your eyes open more and more to how wonderful Jesus is. It's a lifetime adventure of getting to know Jesus more and more, to have him give you joy day in and day out through all the different things you go through. If you're in the middle, keep running. Don't let up. Don't get distracted. Don't look back. Don't let your failures hold you back. Don't let your victories let you coast. Keep running. Keep running. And if you're getting close to the finish, just keep running. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I looked at this last week, but it applies so much this week too. Hebrews 12 says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Not a sprint, you just keep running, keep running. Run with patience the race that is set before us. We're looking unto Jesus. Eyes on the prize. Don't let go of who you're running after. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author, it's by him that we get to be in the race at all. And the finisher, it's by his grace that we will cross the finish line. For who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, or the throne of God. He has pursued and run after us. Let's run after him. Let's run after him. Look to Jesus. Eyes on the prize. Don't let go of your sight on Jesus. Run to him. Know him more. Make the most important thing the most important thing. Don't lose sight of Jesus as you run this race. Keep your eyes on him and keep pursuing him.